What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Getting healthy on a budget can be tough, but that's where Nourish comes in. Nourish connects you with a registered dietitian for expert nutrition advice without the high cost. The best part? 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket since Nourish works with hundreds of insurance plans like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, and United. Meet with your dietitian online from home or message them through the Nourish app for extra support. Staying healthy has never been this affordable. Match with your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Very true.
All right, we wanted to get into this Jonathan Allen audio that he, I guess, gave to the Vikings recently. He was giving praise to his former team, the Commanders, for the way they handled his release. Here's Jonathan Allen, your new Minnesota Vikings defensive tackle.
Why are you in a new situation, would you say, Jonathan?
In the NFL, it's very hard to play your entire career all in 1 year. You know, new regime came in. They had a path that they wanted to follow, and I wasn't a part of that. So, I got to give them a lot of credit for doing me a favor and releasing me when they did. But, you know, things just didn't work out for whatever reason. But super excited. Super, super excited to be part of this new team and reunite with Coach O'Connell. And, yeah.
I mean, I was around the Vikings for a weekend in London last year, and the vibe was awesome. You know, I mean, you could just sense it. You could sense the energy and the communication skills and the message from the head coach permeated everywhere.
Yeah.
Coaching staff and the locker room, you could see it, you could feel it. And I'm wondering if you got that sense even just in the first few conversations you've had with the Vikings.
Yeah, one of the things that was very important to me when I was looking for a new team is I wanted to go to a team that had the right culture. The NFL is already hard enough. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to go to work with an organization where guys are only showing up for paychecks. They're only worried about personal numbers. And the culture is just not really what it needs to be to win. I mean, it's hard to win without a good culture. So when I talked to Coach O'Connell and Coach Flores and just all the guys over there in Minnesota, it really felt like they were building something special and they had built something special. And I just wanted to be a part of that.
You know, he gets added to a defense that was already pretty good. They finished fifth in points per game last year at 19.5 and gave up the second fewest rushing yards, 93.4. So they're adding him and Hargrave to that defense. That's going to be a tough unit to deal with.
The question is, who's going to be their quarterback?
Well, I mean, all signs point to J.J. McCarthy.
I know it points that way, but until Aaron Rodgers signs with another team, I think it's still a possibility.
Yep.
Maybe it's an outside shot, but still a possibility. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do offensively. But, yeah, I mean, I hope Jonathan has a really big year. We like John.
No, he's a really good guy.
Yeah, I wish for nothing but the best for that guy. He's been nothing but cool to us over the years. And you want to see him.
He's a good dude.
Just have you continue his really good career.
What was your statement you said about Aaron Rodgers?
Just don't know where he's going to sign.
You still don't think it's going to be
Pittsburgh? I mean, could be.
You saw the reports that he had a workout apparently with DK. He was one of the guys he was thrown to.
I did not see
that. I don't know if it was only DK or he was just one of the receivers that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
But supposedly, I think they were out in Southern California just working out. And it's kind of a coincidence that DK, he's throwing a DK.
Yeah.
Maybe see if they have a little chemistry.
I mean, that's certainly one of the two or three spots that he could sign with.
Yeah.
But he hadn't signed yet, so any of those spots are still a possibility.
If I spend top 10 draft capital on a quarterback and he's ready to play, I can't hamper his growth by signing Aaron Rodgers. I've just got to hope that my scouting is good and that J.J. McCarthy's going into a really good system for quarterbacks, which has borne out over the years. Look at what Sam Darnold did in that offense last year. And you got to have faith in your guy.
Remind me when he got hurt. Had he played a preseason game or two and showed a little promise?
I think he got hurt. I don't know if it was in a preseason game or like an off-season workout. I can't remember the exact timeline of his injury.
Maybe I'm just making this up. But I felt like he had some flashes in the preseason before he got injured.
I'd have to look up his preseason game logs.
Maybe I'm just totally making that up. But I felt like I remember seeing a play or two that he made. Maybe he had a good second half of a preseason game or something. I don't know. I probably just imagined it. Probably not true.
Yeah, I'm looking up his game logs for the NFL. No available information.
Yeah, but they don't have preseason stuff.
I'd have to do some real digging for that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Speaking of digging and quarterback prospecting, when we come back, EB will give his commercial break film study of Jalen Milroe coming out of Alabama. He'll have a breakdown on his skill set next. And don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Randolph Childress, hoops analyst for ACC Network here on The Fan.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, we've been waiting for B to join to come back before we're going to do our B. Mitch Finley NCAA private bracket invitational results. We're going to reveal those a little later. I haven't heard this. Some of this I have heard. Some of it, I think I asked the question. But some of it I haven't heard. And there's a few things I want you to hear, and I want your take, Mr. Mitchell. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Let's start with number four. Your former coach, Andy Reid, talking tush push and Jaden Daniels.
With the tush push being the big rule discussion this week, how do you guys feel about that in KC?
Yeah, I mean, I already went over all that, but you know, there's a whole medical side of it. I give them credit because they've done a heck of a job with it. Tough play to stop. But then you're listening to that and the medical side, and you know, you probably could go either way with it. But I would say if it's putting a player in a bad position, then you probably have to do something about it. But if it's not, heck, it's a heck of a play.
And with the Commanders on your schedule this year, do you take any time to look at Jaden and just what he accomplished as a rookie and think at all how it compares to other young quarterbacks?
Yeah, I watched all their games. He's a good player, real good player. Yeah.
What stood out to you when watching him?
Well, I thought his poise in the pocket, his accuracy, I thought those things were – he did a real nice job with that. For a young guy, you know, and then he's one of the faster guys on the field. So when he does decide to go, and it looked like he had good judgment there, then he take off and run as faster than anybody.
Obviously, coaches always have a lot of pressure on you, but when you have a young quarterback like that, which you guys have too, does it put an extra pressure to maximize what a young quarterback can do, having a quarterback like that?
Yeah, so you want to maximize it, but you got to do it within reason. So that's the balance there. You got to be careful with how much you add to it. You end up diluting what he does great. So.
That's the trick, right, B?
Oh, yeah.
Balance it. What'd you think of Andy there just kind of talking about the Commander's situation?
Factual. I mean, he's seen it. He worked with Donovan. He came back with Pat. And but you got to, if that quarterback is good enough, you want to try to capitalize off of it, but you can't just throw caution to the wind like most people want you to do. Yes, he will get to a point where he's going to make a lot more money. But hopefully you built, in those 4 to 5 years, you built something to where now you have players on that team that are going to be very good that may not be the top of the market players at every position. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when your quarterback transitions, now you got to have those guys in their second, third, fourth year who are still making rookie money but playing outstanding football.
It's funny, dude, because AP kind of got asked about that, especially if you look at the type of – I mean, bringing Debo in and Tunsil in, like, on the one hand, they had to make some moves because they only had, like, 47 dudes on the roster. Like, they had to get some people in.
Oh, yeah.
But when you add veteran players and you use draft picks to do it, it's also a sign of, I think these guys are worth it. These are big-name players, and I want to get better right away. But AP got asked, like, are you able to be more aggressive right now? He's like, yeah, you know, eventually we're going to have to pay Jaden. And he said, it was really funny, he goes, I can't wait to pay Jaden, although I'm not so sure how Josh feels.
You know why?
Just joking around.
No, he said, it ain't my money.
right. I don't know if you saw it. Remember we had J.I. Halsell on last week, I think? He did like a detailed breakdown on his Twitter of why he thinks Jaden's at least the first $90 million quarterback, which I thought was pretty interesting and pretty telling. Trey Hendrickson is a player you and I have discussed plenty. I asked Bengals head coach Zach Taylor about Hendrickson's potential availability. Zach, how active have the calls or just the market been for Hendrickson? Are you not?
Yeah, you'll have to ask Duke on that one. So my phone doesn't ring. That's not part of the process for me.
How important is it to get him back with the Bengals this fall?
He's a big part of what we do, so we'll keep working through it.
That, folks, is what you call getting Dikembe'd by a head coach when you try to ask a question about a player. He clearly doesn't want to be traded away.
A lot of times it's not the coaches who want the people gone.
Yeah.
It's the front office guys.
I'll give you the best update I've gotten on Hendrickson here. And clearly the on the record with a microphone in my hand update was what you just heard. Not much. But he really wants a new deal, and they really don't want to move him. So I think we're headed for an old-fashioned showdown in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would not expect to see Hendrickson at any of the voluntary stuff. And that's never the type of player he's been. He doesn't miss stuff, but I think he's going to miss some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going to put his foot down a little bit, and rubber might meet road, but I had previously thought if there was action on it, it would be at or around the draft, and I'm not so sure on that anymore.
People always say what players shouldn't do, but you notice that most time players don't get no respect until they not go to something or show something publicly. So maybe that's his move. He have to say, look, I've been to everything, and y'all still won't play with me? Give him the one-finger salute. Step back on him a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Let's do one more here. I think Washington fans and coaches are excited about getting Laremy Tunsil, but there's always two sides to every coin. So I went and found Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans on the process that led Houston to trading away Laremy Tunsil, number 6, Landini.
In that same vein, you don't want to lose good players. What went into the decision to trade Laremy Tunsil?
Yeah, with trading Laremy, thought it was a move that was beneficial to everyone. At the same time, it was a move where we were able to get some valuable draft picks out of it. And Washington was able to get a really good player as well, so I think it benefited both teams.
What is Washington getting in Tunsil?
Yeah, you're getting one of the top one-on-one pass protectors in the NFL, so I think it'll definitely benefit Jaden from having a guy who he knows can protect his blind side.
I think he speaks the truth there, B.
He's true. I mean, listen, if you're going to get rid of a player that's good, you want to get something for him. And let's be real, a lot of times for a team that has the player, when they reach a certain point, they don't want to pay him. Okay?
Yeah.
But when the other team gets him, they know they got something special. at a lower price. So they go with that. So I'm cool with it.
Yeah, man, I did ask AP yesterday if there have been any contract talks with Laramie, and he said, no, none of that yet. And then he added, but I wouldn't tell you guys anyway. So I believe there haven't been, but I also don't think he's going to give us much of an update. It's funny, man. I bumped into AP a few times. I was in line with him last night for food. He couldn't be a more pleasant, easy to get along, talk with dude. And I've gotten to the point where I don't even try, but like other people would kind of walk up in the conversation and kind of mention some football stuff, and he just shuts down. He's just, he's not going to do it, dude.
He has to be able to do that.
Yeah. I mean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When you're really good at something, you
stick to it.
Stick to it.
But West Palm Beach, the site of the NFL owners' meetings. We've got a lot to get into on the owners' meetings front, but I want to start with some of the Adam Peters content today. So let's begin with what Peters said about Jaden Daniels being a recruiting tool. This was Peters with Kay Adams on her show on FanDuel.
How big of a recruiting tool is Jaden Daniels? Because from my perspective as just a fan and someone who talks to players on television, they all love him.
Yeah.
They all want to play with him. Like, how key is he?
It's huge. It was like last year when we hired DQ, all these players wanted to go play for him. Yeah. All these coaches wanted to go coach with him. And now getting a great quarterback like Jaden, a great young quarterback, who's not just a great quarterback, but a great person that people want to be around, that people want to play with.
Slam dunk.
I know, it's great. So, you get a guy like Debo because of that. You get a guy like LT because of that, that want to come and play for us. So it makes our jobs a lot easier.
So I wonder, you know, how much of those two guys being in Washington is Daniels related? clearly they're more excited to be here.
Yeah.
Because Jaden Daniels is the quarterback. But if Daniels is not the QB, they don't trade for Laremy Tunsil. Does he somehow stop that trade? I don't really believe that. The Deebo Samuel one's interesting because there was a market there for him where it seemed like a couple teams were curious about his availability. And specific to just Deebo again, I think Samuel had some say in where he was going to end up because he was going to be an agitator and kind of dictate some terms with San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more inclined to say when he comes out and tells you, I really like Jaden Daniels because I started watching him because Brandon Ayuk's his best buddy. And if Brandon Ayuk's his boy and Brandon Ayuk's my boy, then we're going to get together just fine. But the Tunsil thing I don't think has anything to do with anything.
So I think that you could parse apart each individual person or signing that comes here and say, well, that's not totally Jaden Daniels. And I think people will dismiss that, the kind of like the entirety for part of it. The big theme is correct. Like, in other words, this is such a net positive that it's not the only reason Deebo Samuel's here. Washington traded for him. They wanted him. They're going to give him some guaranteed money. You know, they converted his whatever. It's a good situation for him to thrive. It's not the only reason Laremy Tunsil's here. It's not the only reason Bobby Wagner signed here in Washington was that he likes Dan Quinn. It's not the only reason they were able to get Austin Eckler because Anthony Lynn on the coaching staff. But the point is, you keep doing that enough times, you win some of those, right? You're not just the team that has to pay the loser tax anymore. You can go market value, and it could be a tipping point. All of these things are so overwhelmingly positive that that's the big takeaway. So you're 100% right. I agree with you. I don't know that Laremy Tunsil would have gone, like if this was, Tampa for some reason needed the trade for him. I don't think it would have gone, you know, no, I don't see it. I'm only going to play with Jaden Daniels.
Also,
right.
Unless I'm not remembering something, I don't think he had a no trade clause. Like a team calls the Texans say okay, and now you're going to Washington. Where the Jaden Daniels element is in play, and it is a reality,
yeah,
in my opinion. He is a guy that everyone's going to want to play with, and you've got one of the cool kids, and he is going to be a recruiting tool. It's all true. I just think it's more in free agency. When you're courting a receiver, and we didn't really see them go out and sign a quality receiver this offseason, they kept Noah Brown internally. They brought in Michael Gallup externally, who didn't have much of a market, I wouldn't imagine, and the ties to Dan Quinn were probably a factor there. But that's where it's going to happen. When two teams want an offensive tackle at right tackle to replace Andrew Wiley next offseason, and it's Washington and someone else, and that tackle goes, I'll take a million less, but I'm going to play with Jaden Daniels to try to get the Commanders over the top. That's when you can sell me on the Daniels got it done.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just picked up the phone and called the Texans about Laremy Tunsil, I'm not so sure. But the point is the point, and the point is true. They do have a recruiting weapon at quarterback for the first time in probably my lifetime. I mean, I guess it's possible that after the 99 season, someone wanted to play with Brad Johnson, but Dan had him benched 2 weeks into the next year, so I don't know what that guy was thinking if he came over here to play with Brad.
Seriously.
They just haven't had it, man, and they do now.
Like, you wonder if maybe Griffin had some of that rep going, but with the injury and the way that thing ended, it didn't turn out like this. I mean, this is I took one of the worst franchises in the sport to the NFC title game in year one. That cologne smells sweet right now.
Dan Quinn is also a bit of a recruiting weapon.
Yep.
That has been proven to be the case. Mm-hmm. For all of my issues with the overall philosophy of the defensive-minded head coach, what they banked on and were 1,000% right about was that he is so beloved around the league that he would be able to put together a great staff. And then he and that staff would then become recruiting assets. And that totally happened, whether it's Bobby Wagner wanting to come play for his linebackers coach, Ken Norton Jr., a former great player, or Austin Eckler wanting to come here because Anthony Lynn had coached him in L.A. And we could do 10 of those. I mean, there are examples all over the roster from last year, from this year. I just mentioned Gallup, who's got ties to a bunch of the people in the building because of the Cowboys. He is now a Cowmander, so to speak. So, yeah, they definitely do have some well-liked, successful people. And it's good to be popular. It is good to be in a place where people want to come to this building to work with you. The other thing that Adam Peters talked about today that I thought was really significant was we got an answer for him about trading draft capital to acquire veterans, because the philosophy that he has discussed, he's made it very, very clear. He is a guy that wants to build through the draft as a GM. He said it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But the moves that they keep making over and over and over again are trades for veterans where they give up picks, which I have not had a problem with, but I know a lot of people have a hard time juxtaposing those two things. You can't tell me, in one hand, that you don't drink soda. And then in the other hand,
you're holding a cup of soda.
Get a case of Coca-Cola Zero from Wegmans, right? My point is you can have your cake and eat it too.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean you're going to drink the soda. You both can be okay. Maybe I'm bringing it home for my wife. You don't know. Don't judge me, right? This is what Adam Peters had to say about draft capital being given up in mass this offseason.
You take each opportunity as they come, right? And so understanding where, you know, we were able to get really good players at really good, like, important positions, there's give and take to that, right? And so we did pick 9 players last year. I think they all made the team, right? And then we had 2 rookie free agents make the team as well. So we have 5 picks this year. We could have more, you know, depending on what happens. So we do, it's almost a full complement both years. Obviously, you do want to build through the draft, and I feel that all the time. But understanding when you can get, you know, a premier corner, a premier receiver, a premier left tackle, those are things you have to really look into. And we just felt that was the best move for us.
So that's a really interesting way to think about this, mm-hmm. that I have not considered. We'll get back to the idea of pitting the two against one another, building through the draft and all the trades they're making where they give up picks. But the math that he just used, if you notice, that was kind of a subtle thing. He goes, we had a full allotment of picks. They all made the team, right? Everyone goes, yeah. So that's 9 guys. We had 2 free agents that we didn't draft make the team, right? Yeah. Okay. That's 11 guys. And then he didn't spell it out this way, but I think this is what he was suggesting. We're going to make another 6 picks, maybe more, but as of right now, another 6 picks, 5 picks this draft. So let's say it's 15, 16 picks. That's if they don't trade back. How many picks do you get to start a draft every year?
7. Okay. Right before you start doing it.
Times yeah. 2, how many? If you have 2 full draft classes, how many players do you add over 2 years?
14.
He's saying we'll have 15 or 16 even if we don't trade back, basically, is what he's suggesting. So he said we'll have 2 drafts worth of players. Now, I don't think that's apples to apples because respectively... Yeah,
that's some colorful accounting.
Yeah, when you are going with 2 undrafted free agents last year and then of your 5 picks this year, you know, 2 are going to be effectively 7th round picks. Having 6 7th rounders is not the same as having a pick in every single round, 1 through 6. So... The accounting that he's doing doesn't work that well.
Yeah, and even, you know, I'm making up a name. One of the undrafted free agents, name your guy, whoever it is, he guaranteed to make it year over year? You're probably trying to do better than that guy with a roster that you're inheriting that was devoid of talent.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? So there's no guarantee that the 7th rounder that cracked the squad last year is still there. I mean, you know, obviously on an individual basis you feel for that guy, but that's life at the fringe part of the league. So I understand what he's doing. He's offering a different perspective, and there is some merit to that. I mean, to me, the thing that you could say, and he's smarter than me, he knows what he's doing, is we all have the same amount of allotment capital, and all we're doing is pulling different levers to make the football team better. So I know they have this desperation to hold on to the, we're building through the draft, I promise that's what we're doing. You could totally say, we saw great opportunities to make the football team better, and he did that to a degree.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
But like... sometimes it's salary cap. Sometimes we use a draft pick to you know, not just in the conventional way, which is the draft of 21-year-old. Sometimes we have a more proven commodity.
And, well, here's and it the quiet the draft. Part that yeah. he can't say out loud. There is no young talent on this team that we inherited.
And that's it.
We don't have players developing that will become household names or stars. And because of that, we have to go get those guys externally from outside our building. And the only asset we really have to do that right now, to do it quickly anyway, because
mm-hmm.
so you could do it in free agency, but now you're just picking through who's available, is to trade. So I think it is true that he could both be draft first, free agency, and trade second, and also have been way more aggressive on the trade market early as a general manager than maybe in a perfect world he'd like to. Because his number one goal is to win football games. His number two goal is probably to be true to his cultural philosophy. And maybe someone would argue with that. Like, I read the book that Bill Walsh wrote, The Score Will Take Care of Itself, and I guarantee you he would argue with that. He would say, no. The number one thing you do is lay out your morals as a coach, your foundational philosophies and your paradigms, and you stick to those, and everything else will eventually happen. Winning does not supersede that. You cannot bend to win. But I think Peters has shown he will bend a bit here on this philosophy, or that mm-hmm. he's writing it in pencil, not pen. And if you want to scream it into a megaphone for everyone to hear, because it's a nice thing to say, we're going to build through the draft. We're going to go get the kids in the draft. then you could do some funny accounting, which I think is what he's kind of doing.
Right.
Hey, I'm giving you two draft classes over 2 years. We're going to have 16, 17 players. He also hinted at the possibility they could absolutely trade back, which I think is almost a lock at this point.
Yeah, I think it's offer dependent, but yeah, I think that's the plan going in, right?
Imagine if they move back twice, and now you've got a few third-round picks and a couple of fourth-round picks. They're going to have a sizable draft class to add to this. Maybe it's devoid of the star in the next year or two, unless you hit a real home run that nobody sees coming. But I think the quantity is what he's talking about more than the quality. Like, look at all these players. We only have 53 spots. We're going to have 16 or 17 of them that we've brought in two draft classes, basically. Which, I understand that thinking. I wouldn't even try to explain it away, though. I don't think you have to waste your time with that. I know there's a fan somewhere that needs to hear it because they just want to know that you care about the draft so much. And I'm probably the opposite, where I'm wearing the bleep them pick shirt. But I think all you have to say is, it is really hard in this league to get a top five left tackle. And I got one for you this offseason. Jaden will benefit from it. It's really hard in this league to have a great cornerback. And while I'm not so sure that they have one, at this point, they think they do. The cornerback that they need to be great, they had to trade some picks.
Yeah, because you end up having to sort of knock the free agent market and the guys that are in it. But the between the lines reading is, guys, just look at who's in free agency. Now, cornerback was different this year. There was actually some players that I thought were difference makers. And again, I'm as expert as anybody else that reads the articles that you guys can read. But you know what I mean? Like, there were some names where you go, hey, at a pretty decent cost, DJ Reed could help you, and you can kind of go down your list, Carlton Davis from Detroit and a few others. There were no premium pass rushers. There were no premium left tackles. Like, last year, their best left tackle was Tyron Smith, who was 38 years old, who took up a few million bucks to go try to win one more time. Premium position players at the most important spots, tackle is one of them, are simply not available via conventional means. And now, if you want one, you're probably going to have to draft in the top half of the first round to get a guy that, again, guys emerge all the time, whether it's a second rounder or somebody in the mid rounds that turns out to be a star left tackle, whatever. But the point is, through conventional means, these guys are not available. We have to do unconventional. You end up running down the free agent market. He doesn't want to do that. He's too nice of a guy trying to treat people well. But that's the between the line subtext here, is there isn't anybody good via normal means.
My job is to protect Jaden Daniels, people. I went and got Laramie Tunsil to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Because whoever I was drafting at 29 and beyond was not going to be Laramie Tunsil early on. And I'm trying to make sure that Jaden Daniels plays 17 games. Because if that happens, you got a chance to win 12 of them every single year, probably. And I think that's where his thinking is right now. He did, as I mentioned, at least hint at the possibility of trading back when he talked about adding more picks. This was Adam Peters meeting today at the owners' meetings with the local media on the potential of draft day trades.
You know, that's certainly something that we'll consider. We'll consider everything, trading up, trading down. We always do. With trading down, you have to have somebody who wants to trade up, And that's what I always say. Like, I'd love to trade down all the time, but there has to be somebody else that wants to trade up, and it has to be the right deal. And how far do you want to go back? And all those different things you take into account. Who's there on the board, right? Is there just one player on the board that you want? And if that's the case, then maybe you think twice about trading back, because, but if you have five players on the board that you really like, you can trade back a few picks, and then you can just pick one of those. And I think, with what we did in free agency and through the trades, we have the optionality to really do anything at 29, which we feel really good about.
Until he said 29, Darius could have been playing a clip from 1 year earlier.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Adam Peters, who's great as a GM. He says very little, and he gives you almost nothing. He kind of talks in a bigger picture way. Hey, do you guys think this year you could be a candidate to trade back? And he'll tell you, we'd always like to trade back, but it takes this. I like that he gives very little. They operate in the shadows. No one really ever knows what they're doing. The Laramie Tunsil deal happens, and not a single person has linked them to Houston or Tunsil at any point. I like how he operates in that regard. But I would bet on them trading back. Because I think at 29, you're deep enough in the first round, just a couple of picks from the end of that round, where someone's willing to come up to get that extra year of whatever player they draft. If it's an edge, if it's a tackle, if it's a receiver, I doubt it's a quarterback, but I guess it could be. I think Lamar Jackson, who was the last pick of the first round by Baltimore. The Ravens went up. They weren't sold on him. Nobody knew he was about to be a multi-time MVP at all. But the Ravens said, well, if we're taking a QB, let's make sure we get him in round one rather than a handful of picks from now, because we get the fifth-year option and we extend the window of him being cheap, basically. You can do that at every single position. So that's why I think at 29, it is actually a pretty good range to possibly try to move back a few slots.
I think it is too. And the scenario that I could see, just sort of playing that out, is if there's one of these premium spots where they still have a pretty glaring hole, thinking about a defensive end, whether it's Mike Green from Marshall or you could pick your guy, James Pierce from Tennessee, that they love and doesn't go where they think he's going to go. Like, they got him pegged. He's going to, I'm making this up, he's going to...
If they think he's going 14th overall.
Yeah, he's going to Miami at 17. I don't even know if that's their pick. But, like, he's going there. And it doesn't happen. You go, actually, we don't really need to trade back. We'll just do this. But I think probably if it plays out the way that they think it's going to, they'll go, we're probably better off, instead of just picking the next defensive end on the list, if there's a drop-off in our minds, we'll go back and, you know, it be in the mid-second rounds, probably maybe pick up a third rounder this year or the like. We're not going to get a King's ransom for 29, but we'll get a nice haul. And that nice haul is worth more to us on a roster that just needs positive bodies at this point than where they are.
All right, Adam Peters down at the league meetings today held an informal press conference, I guess you would describe it. And he had some things to say, first of all, about Terry McLaurin and perhaps a contract extension.
Watch on. Is it about time to get the Terry deal done? Where are we at?
Ooh, good question.
Where are we on the Terry?
We love
McLaurin.
Terry. Love Terry. And, you know, we've had some really good conversations with his representatives. We're going to keep those in-house, Kay. That's what Sean told me to
say. I'm reading the body language, though. I don't know. You're feeling good. It's trending in a positive direction.
But we really, we want to make Terry a commander for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, that should be coming next. You don't want him to get to the beginning of this season and then have unrestricted free agency in sight. Nobody wants that. I don't think you'll get to it. I would certainly think at this point that the odds of Terry McLaurin signing a contract extension, which, by the way, also gives Washington even more flexibility with respect to this year's cap number. But that just makes sense. You know, nobody's not thinking out there that Terry McLaurin, if he walked in free agency at the end of the 2025 season, that would be okay. And the good news is, with Terry McLaurin, you really feel like, you know, he is reasonable. He wants to be here. Not just wants to be here, loves being here. He loved being here with the last regime. So imagine how he feels now that the fit is perfect, now that he has a quarterback, that he is still, you know, I think this would be at 30 years old, this would be the last big contract. You know, this is going to be a 4-year extension somewhere in that neighborhood, I would guess. I'm all for it. This would be the one thing right now in the conversation about our football team that there is no debate on, right? Is anybody saying, I wouldn't give him an extension? Nope. I'd draft a receiver. I'd try to find a rookie, you know, number one. I'd go after, you know, I'd still look at T. Higgins. Well, T. Higgins, not anymore. No, this is overwhelmingly something that everybody agrees with. So what's he going to get? That's an interesting question. Right now, he's at $23.2 million per year. All right, that's what his current deal is. That puts him at 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16th in the NFL among receivers in terms of AAV. Of course, we've seen here in the last couple of weeks, Ja'Marr Chase hit the $40 million mark per year. Even T. Higgins, a number two, is at basically $29 million a year. Ayuk got $30 million last year. He was 26. I'd say if you're Terry, it's got to be near $30 million a year, don't you?
Probably north of that. I would imagine he gets a little bit more than what DK Metcalf got with Pittsburgh, you would think. So maybe 31. Well,
what did DK Metcalf get with Pittsburgh again?
He got 5 for $150. So that's about 30. I would imagine Terry's probably...
Well, that's exactly 30, but I thought it was more than that.
Well, I think that the way the AAV sets up, it might be a little bit more per year.
Okay.
But I would imagine Terry's going to get in the neighborhood of 31.
But he's younger than Terry. What did CeeDee Lamb get? Hold on.
He got 33.
34. AAV 34. My much younger player. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 30. You know, there's only one receiver right now older than Terry McLaurin in terms of number one, well, in terms of receivers, that gets paid more money than he does. I'm sorry, there's only one wide receiver in the league older than 30. Yeah, that's making more than he is for 30 and over, and that's Tyreek Hill. He's at $30 million. Every receiver in front of Terry is between 25 years old, which is Ja'Marr Chase, and 29 years old, which is Deebo Samuel. Deebo makes just like $500,000 more a year than Terry, $600,000 more. So the age will have something to do with the deal, but I bet you it comes in at 30 a year. I could see 124 years, something like that. I don't know what the guaranteed money would be. I don't know. 65, 70 million of it guaranteed, something like that. I wonder, I mean, I could be way off. Maybe Washington isn't willing to give him that kind of money at 30. So, you know, he's going to be playing his, you know, half his contract. Because does he turn 31 before the season starts?
Terry?
Yeah.
No. He's 29. He turns 30 in September.
So this upcoming season will be his age 30
season.
Yeah. So, it showed him as being 30 on the spot rack list. Pay the man his money. He deserves it. He's great. He's good for the team. He's good for your, you know, everything even outside of football, he's great for. He has a chance, okay, at this point. Call it 4 years from now. And if they end up doing some damage and being in a Super Bowl or even winning one, he's got a chance to leave this organization as a player that's thought of as one of the greatest of all time. He's not that now. Sorry, people, he's not. You know, obviously we would have Art Monk and Charlie Taylor at the top of the receiver list with Gary Clark right there. All-time pass receptions. So it's got to be Monk 1, Charlie Taylor. Monk 1, Charlie Taylor 2, Gary Clark, Santana Moss. Terry 6 right now in all-time receiving yardage. And in receptions, he is 5th on the list right now. He went ahead of Cooley this year on the all-time reception list. Still behind, I don't know that he could catch Monk. I doubt it, though. That's another, it's 428 catches. He's not going to do that in 4 or 5, maybe, who knows. He could if he's got some big-time years. He's got to have a bunch of 100-year-plus seasons. And the most receptions he's ever had in his career was year 2, 87. But Terry's got a chance, man. He signs this extension whenever it happens. 4 more high-level, productive...
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Years, you know, and he's 33 years old. He's going to probably be number two on the list behind Art Monk in receptions, and he'll probably end up being number two on the list behind Monk in yardage. All right. What else? What else did he say?
He had a couple of other things about Laramie Tunsil that we can get to. That's the only thing I have of audio, so I'm still scavenging.
All right, I want to hear what he said about Tunsil. We'll do that next.
Welcome back, Chuckies. Coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. You can check us out on 910 The Fan or on the FM side, 105.1. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Fish Cake, CB, and JP still to come. Kevin Sheehan's going to join us, our colleague from the Team 980. He's on from 10 to 1. He's going to jump on with us, talk to us about the Terps a little bit, give us his perspective. Somebody tweeted me, he was a big Willard Mark. So I don't know how he feels about Willard now, but we can talk to Sheehan about that coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, will join us at 9 o'clock. The NFL owners' meetings, they talk about rules a lot. And a couple things have been tabled. The biggest headline was the tush push. Mm-hmm. Were they going to ban the tush push? They have kicked the can down the road.
What does that tabled mean? It. They just said we'll deal with it next year, so we got another year.
There's more meetings in May. I think May 20th and 21st, so they may revisit it then.
Well, why? Let's just deal with it now, one way or the other.
Maybe the people that really want to outlaw it, they didn't have enough. They did. You know, the
is it true? They
like on Congress. What do they call the people that keep track of votes? The whips.
Yeah,
the
whips. Couldn't whip enough votes.
Yeah, 16 NFL teams apparently supported it, according to ESPN's Kalen Kalen.
Somebody told me, is this wrong? It must be wrong. They only needed 25% support?
No, you need 24 out of 32, so 75.
24 out of 32, okay.
So they have basically half the league is willing, according to ESPN, is willing to ban it.
So they'll vote again or try to vote again.
You can't vote until you have the votes, and then on the votes.
Yeah.
Really
I'm guessing they're not going to get the votes in May either.
We have audio of Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach, talking about it during the meetings.
I think I spend more of my time thinking of ways to stop it, and which is fun too. But as far as like plays go, you know, that's really what you know the competition committee is for, to look into things and say which you know is better. Do we change? Do we leave things the same? And so it's for that. It's also for ideas like on kickoff, which I'm really pumped that we decided as a league to put in kickoff, you know, and I thought it gave our team a lot of energy, and I thought it is also good for the league. So I hope that trend really continues in a strong way. We've proven that we can do it safer, and that was like a number one goal. And so the fact that that was accomplished first.
So he's alluding to the change in kickoff, and I think what they did is they moved the spot. If you down the kick, it's going to be the 35. You start at the 35. So it's incentive for the kicking teams, I guess, to not kick it out of the end zone.
Right.
To kick it in the landing zone.
Make them return.
To encourage kick, to avoid touchbacks.
Right.
Because you're giving up 5 yards.
And I think they projected, I mean, these are projected, but they projected the kick returns, which were down to like 15 to 20%, to jump to somewhere between like 55 and 60%.
And they also,
Drabby, so you should see a lot more kickoff returns.
You might know this, but they also tweaked the rule where the return team, how they are aligned to block, like the setup. How did they do that? So what I'm reading is they've tweaked it so the setup zone could lead to longer returns. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
I'm not really sure either.
Yeah, so they tweaked that too.
As for the tush push, the Eagles are the team that's affected the most by it. I've said it. I actually kind of feel like they're just getting hoard. Like, imagine if Cliff Kingsbury cooked up a play this year for Jaden Daniels that the league couldn't stop. You know, some sort of read option, and then whatever. He flips it to the other side of the field, and they're the only team that can do it super successfully. The Eagles scored 27 touchdowns and had 92 first downs in the last 3 years using the tush push. Scored 11 touchdowns on it with 32 first downs during their Super Bowl run this past season. And it's like the league is saying, we can't stop it, so let's take it. Let's get rid of it. And Sirianni said, it's akin to this quarterback sneak.
Except for the whole pushing stuff.
Yes.
I wish they would do... like.
But they're not getting the votes, so maybe these teams that aren't voting or are voting against it still think it's, you know, they can use it, and it's beneficial to them, too.
I guess.
I mean, it's beneficial to Buffalo.
I would guess all of the NFC East teams that are facing it twice a year maybe are not voting them. Against it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize this until Dan said that in the interview, was that he has to devote a lot of time and resources on how to stop this one play. You only have so many hours in a week to prepare for a team.
Right.
And if you're devoting a lot of your man hours to stop one play, that's a huge advantage for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't seen the video that you put out on how to stop the tush.
Invite me to Ashburn. I'll show exactly how to stop it.
You could be a Commander's consultant.
I could be.
You get down on your back.
Yes.
In leg press position.
Leg press position.
And you push.
Yeah.
With your
you
cleats.
Push back.
With your cleats.
They're doing a tush push and you're pushing
it's
back.
It's very unorthodox, but I don't hate it.
Hey,
it's
Frankie leverage. Luvu.
All did, leverage.
Frankie Luvu was doing the missile theory. Just launch yourself like a missile. Problem is, he didn't time it right.
So they also changed the overtime rules as a. You know,
what is it now?
Well, it's like it is in the postseason where each team gets a possession. So if the first team scores a touchdown, the game would be over.
That's
in
gone
in the regular season.
Yeah.
It's gone. So the regular season is now like the postseason.
So everyone's going to get at least a chance to touch it once.
Correct.
I mean, I guess I like that.
That seems fair.
I guess. But the idea was to kind of...
Because if you go down in the regular season before, if you went down and kicked a field goal, well, the other team also had a chance to...
But they were trying to reward defense. Like, you actually made a decent stop.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, it's fair that both teams get an opportunity.
If they just completely then they shoved it on you, they deserve the dub. I guess not anymore.
Because you're at the mercy of the coin flip.
Well, not if you play great defense, though.
Oh, I know, but if you could play a great defense. What if it's a fluke? You know, what's a fluky play and they score a touchdown? I think it's good that they are giving both teams an opportunity to score. And then the other thing that they did was, they have the replay assist. So replay will now be involved in some of these calls, these objective calls from refs, like face masks, like running into the kicker, running into the punter, horse collar. All of that was an objective call from the referees. Well, now they can go to replay to see if he actually did grab the horse collar.
Hip drop tackle, is that going to be in the mix too?
I think that's only great.
Hip drop, I don't know. But maybe.
But that's only if a flag is thrown.
Flag has to be thrown, yeah.
So So like you catch a ball and someone blatantly grabs your face mask, no flag's thrown, you can't replay assist. And
so what it could end up happening is the guys are just flag happy. And they're just like, if they don't know, they're just going to throw the flag and let the replay official worry about it.
The problem with that, like, I remember, I think it was a Vikings game late in the season where Sam Darnold got face masked, like a vicious face mask. There was no flag thrown, and it wasn't called.
Right.
So in this case.
Same thing. You'd have the
same
thing.
Was that the one in the end zone?
I think it was in the end zone.
Yeah.
So in this case, you still wouldn't be able to go back and rectify that because no flag was thrown?
If there's no flag, yes.
I don't like that.
What about this scenario? What about a quarterback scrambles out of the pocket, is still in bounds and gets hit, but a flag is thrown, but he was still in bounds? Could you review that both feet of the quarterback were in play when contact was made from the defender?
I mean, if it's a subjective call, I guess you could, if that's what they're looking to do with the replay assist.
I think one thing you're going to like is the chain gang is now just the backup. They're going to spotting the ball.
The Hawkeye technology.
Yes.
And explain what the Hawkeye technology is. That actually like a chip in the ball? Do we know exactly what that entails?
The only issue with that is...
It just says here that the method for measuring first downs will switch from chain gangs to camera-based technology.
Right.
The traditional chain crew will remain on the sidelines in a secondary capacity.
But what the Hawkeye technology doesn't do is spot the ball. Spotting the ball is still a big deal. Because you can have all of the Hawkeye technology. It's still a human that's spotting the ball.
That's true.
So that's still something.
But they can review it, though.
I mean, I guess. But there's still going to be potential for human error with the ball spot. The Hawkeye technology does not completely fix that problem.
All right.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if I'm following then.
The chain gang just measures from wherever it was spotted.
I understand
10
the
yards.
Chain gang. That's irrelevant to me now.
Yeah.
Explain to me.
The referee's got to go in and if somebody gets tackled and
the ref's got to go spot
it. Remember.
But why can't they
remember the controversial spot?
I'm just reading something from this is from Frank.
Remember
Schwab.
The controversial spot in the Bills game?
Yes.
One of the referees, like on one side of the field, came in and it looked like it was first down. The other guy was like a yard shorter.
Understood. This is from Frank. Why does the Hawkeye technology not clear that up?
This is from Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Mm-hmm. He says, "Feel the need to say this again. This does not solve anything we complain about. It practically never happens that the chain gang incorrectly measures whether it's a first down or not. It's the spot of the ball that's the concern."
So we're talking about
when the play is done, like when the play is over, like where does the ref run in and spot the ball?
I understand that.
I don't think that the Hawkeye technology
has nothing to do with that.
I don't think it completely solves that issue.
I've never had an issue with the chain gang guy malfunctioning on pulling the chain to the 10 yards.
They want to speed it up, apparently.
They're only using...
They want to speed it up so that you don't have these old guys out there for 2 minutes.
You'll hardly ever see it.
Yes.
They're only using it to measure the first down, the 1 inch or the 2 inch, to see if it's a first round instead of having the donks run out on the field.
Well, they should have. Why
so
don't
just
they
like
use...
in tennis with the Hawkeye, it's got all these high speed cameras up above, so they're shooting down at the field, and they can tell from a mile away if that's a first down or not.
Okay, that's fine. Why aren't they using that to help with the spot too?
Because I think a lot of spot might be partial judgment. A lot of times, I don't know.
Maybe eventually, if it's like forward progress, for example.
Yeah,
it's going to be judgment by somebody.
Yeah, then it's not.
The camera's not going to know.
Then it's not going to help anything.
When the knee goes down,
no, it's still an issue.
It's not going to help anything.
You're going to see ref spot balls, and you're going to be like, "What is that guy doing? Yeah. He's spotting it either yard forward or yard back where it should be."
Yeah, that's going to happen. But they'll have the cameras. They'll have six big cameras overlooking the field. Maybe eventually they will use that the Hawkeye for all of those calls, but. This year, they're not going to use it for the spot.
But I like the kickoff rule. Of all the rules, I don't love watching the tush push. I feel like it's a wimpy way out by these teams. Learn to stop it. But of all the rules, I like that they're going to make, I think, it harder to just kick the ball out of bounds. Unless you're a defense that just says, okay, go ahead, start at the 35, which I don't think many coaches are going to want teams to start at the 35. I mean, two first downs are in field goal range.
Yeah, coaches are not going to want that.
So I like that we're going to see more kickoff returns.
I like kickoff returns. I didn't think it was a big issue
become,
at this point.
They've become pretty much neutralized over the last 10 or 15 years.
Now they're still doing kind of that XFL bit where the guys line up in a different spot.
You know what? It took me half of a season to get used to it. Yeah. Now it looks normal to me.
What I hate is they ruined onside kicks. I get sized for onside kicks. The possibility, I think they've ruined it.
Even at their height.
Why?
They
because they've got to let the team know that they're
gotta
doing
let
it.
Let them know. There's no surprise element.
Right, and there's a fourth quarter element to it, too.
I used to like how you could actually even do it a couple times, and they wouldn't hold it against you. I don't know. They just made it so hard now.
Didn't they originally change the kickoff rules because they didn't want as many returns because guys were getting hurt? So they were trying to cut down on injuries?
Yes.
For the returners?
Yes. But now they figured out a way that they can make the collisions not quite as violent.
So now they're saying, okay, we want returns back.
Yes.
Essentially.
But not as
they
violent.
They want more action and more scoring.
Austin Eckler.
Huh?
Yeah, I know. Eckler got pummeled.
I've never seen a guy hit so hard.
He got pwned.
Yeah. So I don't know what the number of injuries were on returns, but now it looks like you're going to get more injuries on returns now if teams are forced to kick it inside the landing spot.
Mm-hmm. It's a violent game.
It is, I know.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in. You can also text us on the Lido Pizza text line. Coming up next, we're going to get back to what the University of Maryland did. They hired a new head basketball coach. His name is Buzz Williams. He's replacing Kevin Willard. Kevin Sheehan, huge Terps fan, our colleague on the Team 980 from 10 to 1. He'll join us next here on the Junkies.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You just heard from Commanders General Manager Adam Peters. Hit on a wide range of topics. We're going to open the phone lines up. 800-636-1067. What'd you hear from AP? What do you still want to hear from AP? We'll hear from Dan Quinn tomorrow morning. We are live here in Florida for the NFL annual meeting. Going to hit these phones, 800-636-1067. Toby, what was your biggest takeaway from AP?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agreed with his point that what they've done, they've allowed themselves that they could go out on the football field right now and they could go out and play. So there's no pressing need. I think there's still some holes in the roster and some a little more glaring than others, but they could go play a football game right now. So going into the draft, it's not like they have to go edge rusher at 29 or, you know, they're leaving a giant hole. They've kind of filled their bases so that no matter what they need to do, whatever they deem necessary in the draft, whether it's trade down, whether it's pick somebody at 29, they're kind of improving the football team versus filling a need.
I totally agree with you. Getting a quarterback helps a lot in that regard.
Big time.
You know what I mean? Because if you get that figured out, then you're not chasing at that position, and it completely changes the landscape. My guy Poncho's in Albuquerque listening on the Odyssey app. Poncho, what'd you think of AP?
I think he's doing great. I really like how he showed some brass with some of his comments. In Peters we trust. Feel really good about the direction. Everybody knows that it's a good place to come, and even Jeremy Chin went and got a big bag after the fact. Can't be mad at him.
No.
Shout out Josh Harris. Shout out Adam Peters for doing the right thing, and some things you can't teach.
Well said, man. Thanks for the call. Phones are open, 800-636-1067. Poncho, are you still there? I don't know if he left.
He dropped.
Okay. I don't know if I've asked you this, Toby, but what's your favorite move they've made this season?
It's Tunsil. And the reason being, overall, I'd say it's been underwhelming outside of the Tunsil move. I haven't loved everything that they've done. But the Tunsil move makes it so that I feel good about what they've done this offseason because, like I said earlier, he's going to be here for at least the entirety of Jaden's rookie contract, and you're protecting your most valuable asset, which is Jaden Daniels. So I think getting a guy like that that can be here for 3, 4, 5 years, even if it costs a little bit with draft picks, I don't mind those sorts of moves at all.
Yeah, I get Tunsil. I think Tunsil should have the biggest impact, but I still lean. I think it's Debo. I loved Peter's answer today about what he thinks Debo brings them, and then he added, he's like, plus, you know, we didn't have to pay much for him. And that just stands out to me in a major way.
I think Poncho said something pretty interesting there when he talked about how Jeremy Chin left and got a big contract. I think that now the Commanders are like a competently well-run team that actually performs well, they're going to be able to get the players who are on these contracts where they're looking to go to a place and look good for a year and sign a huge deal. That's always been one of the most frustrating parts about being a fan of the team here in Washington is that, you know, the only time we were ever able to go out and get people is if no one else wanted them or we paid them $6 million a year more than anyone else was offering because the situation was such a disaster. Everybody knew that they were, you know, signing their own death warrant by coming here. And that's just not the case anymore. And I think that's fantastic.
Dude, even to, I mean, be a little less hyperbolic than you, but like, even the, like, to get Ron, when Dan hired Ron, he kind of had to give him full control because it was a desperate team. Nobody wanted, you know what I mean? Like, you weren't going to be able to hire a whole bunch of people. So you had to let Rivera get this, like, inflated title that he probably, I mean, in hindsight, certainly we know shouldn't have had. And I think, like, that's, you're so right that the situation has just changed so dramatically in Washington that these guys want, I mean, Debo put Washington on his list of teams he wanted to be traded to.
Yeah,
five teams.
And I think to Landfill's point, I mean,
there was another team that did something similar, and then that guy got locked up long-term. That's Zach Bond in Philadelphia, right? So you can have a guy come in, play well for a year, and then leave. You could also find a huge part of your team because suddenly you find something, a diamond in the rough that fits in your scheme and plays incredibly well. So it can work twofold where you end up finding a long-term piece, or they just go somewhere else and you find someone else to fill in. But it's a great point that people actually want to play in D.C. now.
Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. We're down here at the NFL meetings. Adam Peters is really confident with his team, says we could go out and play today. I also asked him about Laremy Tunsil there at the end, just if there was any talk about contract stuff, and he said no. Then he's like, I wouldn't tell you anyway. But somebody explained to me that knows salary cap stuff that converting Debo's money to guaranteed money actually helps them if they want to get out of that deal, that they won't have to carry over a hit. They were going to pay it anyway as a roster bonus. And then he's got some incentives. So the Debo conversion makes a lot of sense. I personally would like to see Tunsil play a bit, a while, whatever, before you give him some cash. Does that sit right with you?
I mean, why is that? Is there a little bit of hesitancy there? Are you worried at all? Or is it just strictly you don't want to tie yourself down just in case?
I have no concern about the level of play. The dude's a stud player. I don't know. It's weird a dude's been traded 3 times when he's a stud.
Sure.
So I just would like to see him on the field 4-8 games, whatever. But everyone I've talked to, he's never been a problem. You know what I mean? And I think for Houston, it really was about – I asked D'Amico Ryans about this morning. I don't know if we have that, Landfill. I asked D'Amico, you know, what was it like to trade that away? And he's like, yeah, I mean, I didn't really want to, but it was just kind of how we needed the picks, and they're getting a great player, and I think it's a win-win.
Well, and I think the funny part about it, JP, is like the way that everyone that we've heard from Houston kind of talk about him, anybody that feels negative about – Tunsil and like the deal just getting rid of him, it was like he's not a leader and this and that, and it's like, well, not everyone's built to be a leader. I understand that if you're one of the highest paid players on a team and you're kind of the face of the franchise in some cases, left tackle kind of usually isn't that, but I'm not that worried if the guy isn't that outgoing and isn't trying to force his way as the voice of the team. That doesn't bother me. I care about what you're able to do on the field, and they've got the culture thing figured out. Wagner's going to be a leader. Ertz is a leader. Like, they've got guys in that locker room to be leaders. If Tunsil steps into the locker room, never says a word to the media, never, you know, forces himself being a leader on the team, but goes out there and plays, why do I care?
Right. Well, dude, you bring up a great point, because I think in a lot of capacities, John Allen was forced into a leadership role that really wasn't natural for him.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the old days, because John was this local guy with, you know, military upbringing, whatever, like the marketing machine in the Snyder era oftentimes dictated to the football machine, which is just so, you know, emblematic of how broken that organization was. But John was like, John was a cover of the program guy and like, oh, let's go meet the sponsors guy. And that's just not who he is. Not in a bad way. Like, he's a relatively quiet dude. And he is cool in the locker room and friends with everybody. But, like, they wanted him to be this rah-rah guy that I don't think is him. And I think that's okay. And I think this new group, I mean, I just talked to DQ for a few minutes in the hallway. And, like, it's all about letting people be comfortable where they are, finding people where they are, and then bringing them together to be their best together. And if Tunsil's not a give a speech in the tunnel before the lock, you know, before the game kind of guy, he doesn't have to be.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know why that's such a negative piece. Like, if you didn't have leaders on the team and they expected him to be in Houston and that's the reason, maybe I can understand it a little bit, but that's not going to be a problem here in Washington. They have leaders already. If he wants to step in and just kind of fit into the locker room and not worry about being a leader, that'd be just fine here.
Yeah, I agree. Phone lines are open. At some point, Toby, I'm going to need you to explain these torpedo bats to me. Is this Chaz on line one, Landini?
I just wanted to kind of, I love you guys. JP, you went to school with my boy James Slaughter at BCC.
Oh, yeah, dude. Go so Barons.
I follow you guys a lot. And, you know, the L.A. culture, I'm a D.C. native. I'm back and forth bi-coastal. But the L.A. culture of just winning, it seems like, you know, when I come out here and I see and I'm in these, you know, in SoFi, you know, watching how a couple of years ago, and I went to Vegas. I go to all the away games, like, you know, the okay. Vegas one, and I was in Dallas. And just the culture of L.A. winning, it seems like Adam Peters is bringing that, you know, like that mentality. And it's like you always got to win. And that's what I love about, you know, what he's doing for D.C. And I'm just happy about just the culture shift and the change. And he's answering all the right questions. He's not shying off. He's not, you know, just saying things just to say things like we've heard before in the past.
Totally.
By other GMs and coaches. So,
well, Chaz, to your point, dude, think about this. We have not, I don't believe any radio show, but I know ours has not. Nobody has like a funny, goofy drop on the radio that they play all the time because Peters messed something up in a presser.
Right.
And we couldn't get two pressers in a row without some funny, goofy thing from everybody that's been running this operation the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's a lot of us out here, man, and it's a lot of Skins fans out here. We're kind of scattered. We all come together when the time is right, but it's just refreshing. Like, I was just listening to it, and I'm like, he's not cutting no corners. Even when he went back and said something about the picks, and he was like, yeah, you know, we got 29. But, you know, it's not like we're in the top 10. And he was like, you know, that's not a sure shot all the time. And he clarified that. He was like, even though, you know, we might have a top 5 draft pick, it's not guaranteed that we're going to get the right guy for this culture. So I think bringing, you know, Kinlaw back and, yeah, you know, he's a D.C. guy. You know, I'm a Archbishop Carroll graduate. So, you know, I'm in that, you know, that WCAC. So
the Lions,
all
baby.
About competition. Yeah,
yo, appreciate the call. Chaz, good call, man. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
We'll keep the phone lines going. Come up at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk to this dude, John Talty, that wrote a story about Kevin Willard's departure from Maryland. At 1:30, so a little bit of news just came down concerning the Commanders' global rights in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, the UAE. Pretty damn interesting. I'm going to try to get some more information about that because, be honest, I'm not exactly sure what all that means, but maybe I can find somebody that does. Shireen Williams just wrote a story on that. But we're going to keep your phone lines going. Adam Peters talked, I thought, really, really insightful. There's a way to be insightful and open without disclosing information, and I think AP does that really well.
Ovechkin in the high slot as Chychrun feeds it to him. He scores! Alex Ovechkin gets goal, 892. It's on the power play, top right corner against Frederik Andersen. Ladies and gentlemen, he is 3 goals away from the record. He has scored here in Carolina.
You could hear the reaction from the Carolina fans, similar to the reaction from the Boston fans the night before. He's getting this reaction on the road just as much as he's going to get it. Well, not as much as he'll get at home. Excuse me. The pollen is thick today, Denton. Just sneezed for about 10 minutes before the show started. I'm ready to roll, though. How about Ovi? 2 away from tying it, 3 away from breaking it. The Caps were getting pounded by Carolina when he did score at the end of the second period. Washington, by the way, as a team, if you're paying attention to the team story, they've dropped 4 out of their last 5 now, with the one win coming against the lowly Bruins on Tuesday night, 4-3 on the road. But that is right now secondary to the lead story, which is Alex Ovechkin bearing down on Wayne Gretzky's all-time mark. Good morning. On the show today, we're going to talk some draft at noon with Trevor Sikkema. Also on the show today, you'll hear part of my conversation on my podcast yesterday with Scott Van Pelt. We talked a lot about the Buzz Williams hire. And he actually had a very interesting conversation with Kevin Willard. We'll talk about that as well. That'll come up sometime during the next hour. This, by the way, from Dan in Olney. Dan, I'm a Terps fan too, but it's time to move on. Support Buzz. And I really want to hear about all of the corners and edge rushers from now until draft night, please. Yeah, Dan, we've got plenty of time until draft night. We are 3 weeks away exactly from the first round of the NFL draft. Not quite the excitement for our group like it was last year, but still a very interesting draft, and a draft in which our team will continue to build out a roster that can support an elite quarterback, and I think a very good coaching staff in an effort to not only win a Super Bowl, but win one soon. Yeah, the draft doesn't always produce right away, but they do have a first rounder at the end of the first round at number 29 overall, and they do have needs. And some of those needs are in areas in which the draft is very strong. This NFL draft is clearly not anywhere near like the draft last year with all of the quarterbacks and the quarterback drama. There's a little bit of quarterback drama, and that quarterback drama really now seems to be kind of dialed in on Shedeur Sanders and whether or not Shedeur Sanders ends up being the guy to drop in the first round. It looks like Tennessee is going to be locked in on the Cam Ward at number one, the Miami quarterback. They have a quarterback need, and certainly it would seem like Cam Ward, barring a massive, you know, offer that Tennessee can't turn down, will go number one overall. Cleveland now seems to be, you know, leaning towards Abdul Carter, the edge pass rusher from Penn State. And then we'll see whether or not the Giants like Shedeur Sanders or not. Because if they don't, you then have a slew of teams that would likely pass on Shedeur Sanders. That will be the drama, I think, on night one, 3 weeks from tonight in the NFL draft. And that drama will play out long before Washington is on the clock, unless they end up trading up. You know, we don't talk about trading up much because, for whatever reason, everybody is in love with the idea of trading back. And Washington may view the first round as a, this year's first round, as having, let's just say, only 24 first round worthy players. What if they can't trade back? Would they consider trading up to get a player that they have a true first round grade on? Not wanting to take a player at 29 that they don't have a first-round grade on. Anything's possible, obviously. The idea that they're going to trade back and that's the easiest thing in the world to do, it's just never the easiest thing in the world to do. You've got to have a willing partner. The deal's got to be right. And there are other teams looking to do the same. You know, behind Washington in the first round are Buffalo, Kansas City, and Philadelphia. You know, if there is a quarterback, Tyler Shuck from Louisville, or Jackson Dart if he hasn't gone off the board, and those would be the examples of teams wanting to trade up late in the first round, reason being you get that fifth-year option on a first-round pick. Washington's not the only place they can trade up. A team can trade up to take said player. They could certainly trade with Buffalo, Kansas City, and or Philadelphia, and we know that Philadelphia is pretty good at wheeling and dealing. 3 weeks from tonight, the NFL draft will be all over it. There was a big story yesterday that we didn't talk about, and I think it's because, Denton, it came after the show ended. But the story was about Trey Hendrickson and the idea that Trey Hendrickson and Cincinnati are at major odds. And it arose because Katie Blackburn, who is a Bengals executive vice president, at the NFL annual meeting was asked about the status of Trey Hendrickson. And, you know, he hasn't been traded yet. He also hasn't been signed by the Bengals. Where are we? And she said, quote, I think he should be happy at certain rates that maybe he doesn't think he'd be happy at. I think some of it is on him to be happy at some point. And if he's not, you know, that's what holds it up sometimes. So it takes him to say yes to something. And also, we have all the respect in the world for him. At the very end, we have all the respect in the world for him. After, I think he should be happy at certain rates, meaning at a certain price. At some point, he's got to be happy with something. You know, that's what holds it up. He's at fault. You know, he's got to say yes to something. But we also have all the respect in the world for him. Well, Trey Hendrickson went on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he was asked about the comments from this Katie Blackburn, the EVP, the executive vice president of the Cincinnati Bengals organization. And he said to McAfee, quote, first of all, yesterday was April Fool's Day, so I was traded to all 31 teams and had like 100 different contracts, according to, you know, April Fool's internet. But the one thing I was hoping was that the April Fool's joke was not the one about what Katie Blackburn said. He said, I called my agent, found out it was not an April Fool's joke, that she actually said that. And it was a little disappointing because the communication has been poor over the last couple of months. He said that they have not communicated with the team, his agent or him, about his contract in a while now. And it's been a little bit, quote, frustrating, closed quote. I don't know what any of this means definitively, but my guess is that once the Bengals got Chase and Higgins signed, that their focus was on explaining to Trey Hendrickson, we don't really want to trade you. We want our best defensive player back. And then it became about the contract. And Cincinnati, even though they just gave Ja'Marr Chase the largest non-quarterback contract in the history of the league, there have been moments with the, you know, Mike Brown, et cetera, where they haven't been the most lavish of spenders. And they have been at times with players difficult. Right now, Denton, prediction. Trey Hendrickson plays in Cincinnati. Trey Hendrickson gets traded. Trey Hendrickson holds out.
I would say right now I feel most confident in Trey Hendrickson holding out. Forgive me, Kevin, if this is a hot take, and stop me if it is too hot. Generally not good when you think comments made about your April Fool's jokes. Usually not a great thing. Things aren't moving in the right direction if you have to look at a comment and think, I think they're kidding, and then you find out that they were in fact not kidding.
Yeah. This is still, for me, the one last major move, and it would be major, that Washington could still be a part of and could still make. The, you know, reporting over the last 6 weeks is that Washington is one of the teams hovering, but that the price has been too high. Cincinnati has wanted a first plus, and Washington and other teams don't view Trey Hendrickson at 30 years old and needing a massive new contract that would pay him top three money in the league for an edge rusher. They don't see him as worth a first plus. And that's where, you know, the other part of it too, remember, is that we don't know what Cincinnati has offered. We don't know what kind of rates, as she referred to, he is passing on or he thinks is too low. Part of what could be the holdup is just that Trey Hendrickson wants too much money. And the compensation is one part of it, but the ability to get a realistic deal done where both parties agree may be part of the holdup as well. He's a great player. He's a great pass rusher. He's not Myles Garrett. He's not. But Myles Garrett isn't available. I still think this is something over the next 3 weeks. You know, prior to the draft, I don't think this is a post-draft trade. I think Cincinnati would want that compensation for this draft because they are in win mode, you know, win now mode too. You know, giving the contracts they gave to Chase and to Higgins, that kind of money invested in wide receivers and two wide receivers along with what they have invested in the quarterback, they want to contend immediately. And so if they do move on from Trey Hendrickson, I can't imagine it happens post-draft. Unless it gets really ugly with a holdout. My guess would be he ends up signing and staying in Cincinnati. That's my guess today.
Do you think it's going to be $30 million per year? Because it feels like that's been like the number that we have all thought. Like, all right, he's going to get, you know, Myles Garrett got X amount. He's not Myles Garrett. He's not Max Crosby. He's going to get 30. Do you think that number's 30?
Where's Myles Garrett at? What did he just sign at, like 40?
He's at 40. Max Crosby, I think he's either 35 and a half or 36. He like just narrowly edged out Justin Jefferson.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. In terms of average annual, Garrett's at 40. Daniil Hunter's at 35.6. Max Crosby, 35.5 on the deal, right, that they just signed.
Right.
Bosa's at 34. He has to be right in that general area, in the Hunter to Bosa range. So we're talking about 35. Guarantee you he's asking for something north of that.
Has to be. He's
going to make $21 million next year. The leading sack NFL rusher the last two seasons is the 10th highest paid right now in the league.
Got to get to at least top five. Even if that contract is heavily like front loaded.
If you're his agent, he's led the league in sacks the last 2 years. Top five. What are you talking about? Okay, maybe it's not Myles Garrett, but it's right at he's number two. He's ahead of Daniil Hunter. Daniil Hunter is a really good player when he's available and healthy.
I would have never guessed that Daniil Hunter was getting paid as much as he is. Happy for him. Would have never guessed that.
Man, the Texans were good. You know, they're good on the edges, aren't they?
By the way, we did just have another trade in the NFL.
What?
The New England Patriots are sending Joe Milton in a seventh to Dallas in exchange for a fifth.
Oh, my God. Joe Milton. Got a big arm.
He's a rocket.
Can really sling it. We've got plenty of time for a lot of draft talk. We'll do some today at 12 noon with Trevor Sikkema. Love having Trevor on the show to talk draft. And there will be, you know, a lot of opportunities to guess. I think the key from, you know, our team's standpoint in terms of projecting the player, you know, one, they're going to take best player available. They proved that last year with the Johnny Newton pick. Although, you know, I say that, and as it turns out, they may have known when they picked him they were going to be moving on from John Allen, you know, this season anyway. But best player available, I think, is their mindset. That doesn't mean they're going to take a quarterback if the best player available is a quarterback. We all understand that. But I think you look at best player available, and then you look at some key attributes. You look at RAS score, you look at the athleticism, and then you look at the personality and leadership and all of the intangible stuff. This is what they really focused on last year. I don't think that's going to change just because they won 12 games. This is still a process that they are in turning over the culture of the organization. Incredible turnaround in one season, and maybe they've established it for years to come. But you don't establish it, you know, after 1 year and then you start taking risks on deficient personality types just because of talent. That's what you got to look at. And then obviously, you know, the needs, because you'd figure at the end of the first round, you're going to have some players at multiple positions that are going to be pretty close on the board. I would still say that defensive end is one, corner is two, and then another playmaker is three in that order. What order would you put it in?
I want an edge guy. I think edge is at the top of my list. Yeah,
that's what I said.
So I want an edge guy. And then I think I want another offensive playmaker too.
Yeah.
I think that's how I would go. Although I have been like kind of getting, as we get closer into the draft, just like falling into this rabbit hole of cornerbacks and some guys that could be available in the event. You know how you do this like mental gymnastics thing about trading back and like if they trade back, where are they going to land? Who's going to be there kind of a deal? So I've been doing the mental gymnastics of like DBs that could be available if they do trade back. So they land an edge and a DB. And then on Monday, we're all celebrating and happy and all that sort of stuff.
We like celebrating and being happy, but you never know with the draft anyway.
You never know.
Really, really hard to celebrate until you've seen the person actually on the field playing. All right, we got a lot to get to. Denton's got some news, and we've got Scott Van Pelt. You'll hear him on the show today as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.